Welcome to the A-News Podcast. This is episode 60 for April 20th, 2018. This podcast covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism at our email address, podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually good commentary, go to the nonsectarian anarchistnews.org. Editorial on the opacity of words. I've been thinking about the multiple meanings of words. One road into this topic is a reading we did in my study group, some chapters from a book by two shit-disturbing anti-artists. The readings made some really good points and focused on some worthwhile enemies, but what has lasted for me is how the same words can and do mean opposite things, and what it means for writers to use both meanings, especially in a polemic. The clearest example I can give from memory is that these authors are all about being anti-art and anti-artist. What they promote, what they want people to do, they call the art of destruction. Now, we only read three chapters in the book, so it might go on. It might be that they clarify this elsewhere, but it doesn't matter for the purpose of my cogitation on this. I'll go on to my next example. This week, I called a friend weird. His response was that he was really normal. It made me start thinking about how both of those labels, normal and weird or unique or special, are ways to claim privilege or status, and they're also both derogatory. That's kind of what I'm trying to get at. Not that they mean different things to different people, but that they mean diametrically opposed things to the same people, even feasibly in the same conversation. One last thing I'll throw in the pot, because, you know, kitchen sinks are always helpful, is kind of a tangent, but it seems related. There used to be a big billboard for underwear or something, and it showed a woman reclining in her underwear and a man standing up in his underwear. I was a baby feminist, and I had the Feminist 101 response, which was to analyze the billboard as showing passive women and active men. As a thought exercise, I tried imagining how it could not be sexist, what could change, and the obvious was to try reversing the positions. Imagine my intrigue when I realized it could still easily be interpreted as sexist. It would just mean that the woman was then read as serving the relaxing man. Now, it's easy to turn that into a joke about how identity politicians can find oppression in anything, and that's fair, but it's also pretty shallow. What remains interesting to me all these years later is how opposite things are not opposite, and how on earth we're supposed to keep that in mind and yet stay clear about what we're saying to each other, and especially what we're hearing.
Well, don't mean a thing. All you got to do is sing. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just give that rhythm everything you got. Yes, don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
What's new this week? A 2118 May Day call for the Triangle, North Carolina. From It's All Going Down. Anarchists are included in the broad call out for mayhem, etc.
Spain, Madrid. ATM burnt in solidarity with the anarchist comrade convicted in Germany for expropriating a bank. From Act for Freedom Now, a short communique, quote, "The attack justifies itself. Banks are one of the main engines of state society and capitalism. The investments in prisons, juvenile centers, or arms industries grant credit to companies and states, evict and speculate with housing, complicity with gentrifying processes, among others. Many responsibilities in the gears of capitalism give good proof of that. The banking system throughout its network has always been one of the greatest enemies of the exploited, and therefore of the anarchists, as exemplified in expropriations and sabotage, which have accompanied the anarchist struggle throughout its history," unquote.
Portland Anarchist General Assembly, April 29th, 2018, 8 p.m. Lol. One of the cutest event announcements in a while. Organized on Facebook, they recommend making a sock, written entirely in capital letters, and with funny, ominous references to past events. Quote, "This will not be a repeat of last year's event," unquote. "There will be no facilitation. We must self-organize. No hierarchies, no oppressive behavior, no bullshit. Avoiding processing through dictum. Wave of the future."
Libera Info Shop in Yogyakarta, Indonesia is fundraising for a new space. A fundraising announcement for an info shop that opened in 2016 and has apparently been successfully active since then, including hosting Antifa events, a cafe, providing various anarchist texts, and, quote, "trying to convert people to Marxism," unquote? They want more space to be able to house traveling anarchists, have a bigger library, a garden, self-defense classes, etc.
Anarchism in today's United States. An anonymous submission. There's a name attached, but
that sounds quite a bit like an anti-anarchist communist who used to haunt anarchist news. This is a nonstop criticism of anarchists in the U.S. as we are not dedicated, committed, or able to help create a mass revolutionary movement. The issue, this writer says, is that, quote, the anarchist scene is uniformly devoid of the profound optimism about human beings and the possibilities for profound radical social change that drive more grounded, energetic, and serious individuals to become dedicated members of the Maoist RCP or the Trotskyist ISO, unquote. To which I can only say, lol.
Steal Something from Workday 2018 from CrimeThink. CrimeThink offers a list of past and international Steal from Workday posts going back to 2010. If you didn't know, the day is April 15th, but there's nothing wrong with being late.
Taz Zad notes from Zachev.noblogs.org. A criticism of temporary autonomous zones as being too hard to defend and also being proto-states, and a promotion of the practice reported on by James C. Scott of people escaping states, i.e. nomadism, hard-to-monitor crops, etc.
Here this Sunday, April 15th, April, the magic of the ZAD, from Zona Defendra. A pretty short report back from Sunday at the ZAD, quote, despite the state of siege imposed by the government, a crowd of 15 to 20,000 people has succeeded, whatever the cost, in reaching different points of the ZAD this Sunday. This afternoon, new groups are arriving all the time. Since this morning, the state has done everything possible to break this huge surge of solidarity. There are roadblocks and checkpoints everywhere. Police checkpoint policemen at the exit lanes of the motorways, asking drivers not to try to go through the solidarity gathering. This is the first time that the state has tried to prevent a big demonstration of this kind on the ZAD, and to wind up the tension. But here the collective spirit has not allowed itself to be intimidated by any such thing. The ZAD supporters know the country paths and the fields, and they have been moving in groups in order to get around the police blockades. The movement that succeeds in forcing the abandonment of the airport project is here again today, in all its strength and diversity, to defend the ZAD. Unquote.
First contact with Cedar from Anonymous. Cedar is the person arrested as a scapegoat, presumably in Hamilton, for the vandalism to local shops that has had the local anarchist space attacked and vandalized in turn by Anonymous folks and then by police. Quote, they were interrogated for 90 minutes that day about their gender expression and their body, forced to be accountable to the violent assignment of gender upon which prison and all of society, for that matter, are predicated. They explained that every day since then has gotten progressively less scary, and that they are now mostly occupied with organizing a legal defense and overcoming the boredom of a tiny jail cell. They are being kept in segregation on the female side of the prison, although that will probably be changing soon. Unquote. Segregation is lonely. There's a link for the address to write to. Write an anarchist prisoner today.
As it stands today, Cedar's arrest. From North Shore Counter Info, more recent information about Cedar's arrest and case, as well as a bit of context. Also some fascinating insights into some legal minds. Quote, 4 hours of blathering drivel in which it became clear that not only Cedar, but all of anarchism was on trial. Just as we saw after the 2010 G20 summit, in which Cedar faced very similar charges, the prosecutor fumbled with the basic concepts of our politics and desperately grabbed a grasp at every available trope to paint Cedar as a ringleader. In cross-examining Cedar's would-be surety, the Crown prosecutor attacked the very concept of friendship as an unreliable form of human relation, mistaking Cedar's refusal to be governed with a refusal to be accountable to friends, thus revealing once again one of the basic failings of hierarchical social models. The presiding justice of the peace, clearly an authority on many subjects, stated that the only legitimate form of activism in the 21st century is through social media, citing the #MeToo movement as proof that there is no longer any reason to assemble on the street, unquote.
Testimonial and analysis of one resident of the ZAD. From zadresist-antirep.net. Someone at the ZAD who is sad about infighting and suggesting that certain groups in the ZAD disband. Quote, some people have emerged over the years as amazing strategists, bureaucrats, politicians, and journalists. Many of us are now the good little soldiers for the political strategies of these groups. We must stay in the rank and file so as not to disturb their tactics and their communications. We must obey and not speak too loudly or expose ourselves to the threat of being despised or of ending up in a car's trunk. In my opinion, the formal groups of the ZAD, CHIPS, CMDO, POMPS, should officially dissolve, no longer publish texts, and no longer come to the assemblies on the ZAD as a composite of the movement, but only as individuals.
Mianjin, Brisbane, so-called Australia. Arson attack against the Commonwealth Games countdown clock on South Bank. from Act for Freedom Now. For those who, like me, had no idea the Commonwealth Games are the Olympics for member states of the British Empire. Like the Olympics, they're held every 4 years and hosted by competing cities. This year, they were held in Australia, and protesters were attacked by cops. Quote, the police also tried to claim one young person self-harmed while in their custody. Allies are urgently needed at Camp Freedom on the last 2 days of the Commonwealth Games to join peaceful protests and protect the camp, which over the last 2 weeks has been threatened by neo-Nazis, racists, and the Queensland Police Force. Our action is in no way endorsed by Stolen Wealth Games organizers and protesters who have no knowledge of it. But they have our solidarity through this and more practical acts, unquote. There's a link to a very brief video of people setting fire to the games clock.
How Greece's grittiest district swapped anarchy for culture, from mainstream source, The Evening Standard. This article extols the shift in Exarchia from anarchist bastion to cultural haven. Quote, attracted by cheap rents and plenty of studio space, a new generation of creatives is giving Exarchia its new buzz. There are empty shops and abandoned buildings, says artist David Robert Fenwick, who left London to open a studio here. Exarchia isn't an important American city, but it has the feel of a more far-flung guerrilla republic. Unfucking quote. This reads exactly like a public relations piece for a tourist magazine. Don't believe the hype.
Italy. Update Scriptum Anent from anarchia.net. An extremely brief comment about recent events for Anna and Marco. Quote, the anarchist comrade, Anna Beniamino, arrested in September 2016 in the framework of Operation Scriptum Anent, currently detained in Rabibbia Prison, Rome, has informed us on April 2, 2018, that the inevitable loud comments made during the ongoing trial for the aforementioned operation earned her and Marco Bassesti, detained since September 2016, currently in Alessandria Prison, a couple of disciplinary reports, commuted to a few days of solitary confinement. Both comrades are laughing at this punishment. Unquote.
Czech Republic. High Court in Prague confirmed acquittance of all defendants on March 27th. From anarchia.net. Another very short announcement that five anarchists have been acquitted from charges that were part of Operation Phoenix. A success, although trials are exhausting and disruptive even at their best. They suggest that people stay tuned.
From Olympia, long live the commune, long live Lazad. From Puget Sound Anarchists, extremely brief statement of solidarity.
Position of the legal team about the militia actions on the Zad, from Anonymous. This explains a bit more about what is actually known about the person abducted and beaten and left in front of a psych hospital, all apparently for not agreeing with the strategy of a large group in Zad. This is the most clarifying on this event so far, but there are still plenty of questions. It seems like there are multiple groups who are jockeying for political and or social power within the ZAD, and one of them got mad at this person for not going along with negotiating with the state. Again, for those of us who are far away, this is mostly relevant for how we consider actions that we would or would not take, and who we would or would not work with.
Kuala Lumpur, police raid anarchist space Rumah Api, Malaysia. From 325, quote, on August 28th, over a dozen police with automatic weapons and canine units attacked Rumah Api, a social center slash housing project in Kuala Lumpur, during a concert on that night. The police raided the house project and raided everybody during the concert and also trashed the living space of people who live there without any warrant or solid reason for the raid, unquote. 160 people were arrested and detained for 3 days, except for two who are still held, quote, the state used Rumah Api as the scapegoat of recent event of attacks on banks and multinational corporations in KL for the past 2 years. So far, they found nothing to link us with that event. The police seized all the musical equipment at the concert hall, seized two computers of people who live there, one smartphone, artwork and books belonging to the people who live there. The police said they searched the building for any weapons or explosives that can link us to terrorism, unquote. The article asked for international attention.
Miguel Amoros interviewed from LibCom, interviewed by Ruben Martin. This is my introduction to Amoros, and from this he sounds like a disciplined thinker based in class theory, but branched out somewhat from that base, and critical of the political moves made by populist groups in various countries. Quote, when the social movement was in decline, thought did not disappear. It continued in two directions. One, artistic, by way of expressionism, dadaism, surrealism, situationism, the last of the great vanguards. And on the side of sociological critique and philosophy, the Frankfurt School, Lewis Mumford, and the whole American School of Urban Planning, Günther Anders, and Walter Benjamin, philosophers and thinkers who have appeared, who have been concealed, and who are not classifiable in schools like Jacques Ellul, who is very important for the analysis of technology and its function. We certainly possess enough theoretical resources to educate ourselves sufficiently. The problem is that these people are thinkers whose work remained isolated from a workers' movement that was too weak to appropriate it and use it. A few anthropologists like Marcel Mauss and Pierre Clastres carried out major reevaluations of the experiences of indigenous peoples, but what is lacking is a unitary view. These ideas evolved in isolated institutions. They were disconnected from social movements. The social movements have been colonized by the obsolete ideas of a previous era, by doctrinaire anarchism, by Leninism, by Stalinism, by nationalism, ideologies that are dead, but that make the movements more pragmatic and also more sectarian when the time comes to define themselves, unquote.
Philadelphia, USA, attack on construction vehicle in solidarity with the ZAD and Camp White Pine, from Contra Info, a communique, quote, Dear international anarchist thugs, illegalists, cashiers, and defenders of wildness, we are reporting live from Philadelphia. An attack has just been made, throwing a wrench in the cogs of the machinery of progress. Well, more literally, some wires were cut and windows smashed on one of their bullshit bulldozers. We have word that this attack was done in solidarity with the ZAD and Camp White Pine. Hi! Both of which are facing their own local bullshit bulldozers. The attackers have also sent rebel greetings to area anarchists who've been keeping it live, and especially those who share the specifics of their attacks to allow others to reproduce them. Unquote.
Barcelona, Spain, explosive attack on a Mercedes showroom from Act for Freedom Now. Quote, In the night between March 31st and April 1st, at midnight, we placed a homemade device made of two gas canisters with 100 grams of gunpowder as detonator on a Mercedes showroom on Via Augusta 238. We don't think it necessary to justify an attack on a Mercedes showroom in a wealthy neighborhood of Barcelona. In spite of the hysteria of anti-terrorism control, attack is possible. With the means that one has at one's disposal, in the awareness that any action counts, and we are all indispensable. Unquote.
Canada, Hamilton Community Defense Fund, from Act for Freedom Now, fundraising for legal defense. Quote, After several days of stall tactics from the Crown, Cedar appeared in court on Tuesday, April 10th, for a bail hearing. Much to our dismay and the shock of every lawyer we've spoken to, Cedar was denied bail. While we do not use this term lightly, the court proceedings can only be described as a political witch hunt. In the end, Cedar was, in part, denied bail because of their self-affirmed and proud anarchist politics. Until the bail hearing is appealed, Cedar will remain in jail. Whatever amount you can spare, however big or small, would be greatly appreciated. Unquote.
Lecce, Italy, on the latest night against TAP and updates on Free Comrade Saverio Now, from Act for Freedom Now. A street protest against TAP has led to one person imprisoned. Quote, The long night of struggle continued between the provincial road and the entrance to Melendugno until another police charge resulted in the arrest of two female comrades and a male comrade. After identification, the latter was the only one to be held, and he was taken to the police station where he was put under arrest. Saverio is now locked up in the Lecce prison, where on the afternoon of Wednesday the 11th, a large number of people in solidarity gathered shouting anger and love for our comrade in a demo animated by music, chants, amplified greetings, and fireworks. More intense days will follow. The military occupation of TAP and Salento is stepping up. Police fury is getting more and more asphyxiating. Our strength must spill out, no holds barred. At the same time, solidarity with Saverio is fundamental. His tenacity beats strong in the heart of our struggle, which will never be defeated by the state's intimidations. Unquote.
Media. Bringing the ZAD back home. A video series. From It's Going Down. The Cinema Committee, whatever that is, starts a series on the ZAD, I guess? This particular episode is 11 minutes of riots, protesters, and English voiceover about some of the decision-making and negotiation with the state, but no real clarity or context for the situation, and a mind-numbingly repetitious refrain, humanity, protesters, and robot, cops and machines. There are a few sweet moments of people dancing in the rain. This doesn't bode well for the series, sadly.
The Witch's Child audio zine from Resonance, 23 minutes. Quote, We recorded and released this piece in 2015, but that version of the text omitted some key parts. So in anticipation of this year's May Day, we have reformatted the zine and re-recorded the audio. Unquote. This story takes the form of someone explaining to a child why the world is so unhappy these days, with the answer that it's because we stopped celebrating spring and let winter rain all year. The zine is pretty.
The Unquiet Dead, Chapter 4, audio zine. From Resonance. 2 hours and 13 minutes. Quote, Chapter 3 of this multi-part series discusses appropriation and essentialism in white feminist spirituality and or white environmentalist circles. The full text is available at unquietdead.tumblr.com. We will be posting recordings of the other chapters in the future. Unquote.
Anarchy Radio, April 17th, 2018, an hour, same old.
TFN number 6, Zuck the System. The stimulator does the Facebook controversy for dummies, but it's already out of date. Whatever stock losses happened were made up during the Zuckerberg testimony. Whatever. Folks don't watch TFN for the news, but for the giggles. So giggle, damn you!
The final straw. Zad resists eviction. 34 minutes. This is Burst talking with someone who lives on the Zad about recent state violence and resistance, including allegations about Apolistas and infighting. This is, of course, informative, as speaking to someone on the ground tends to be.
The Hotwire number 26, April 11th, 2018, 40 minutes. Interview with someone at the Zad. An interview with a participant in the Syrian revolution about the no-state solution to the Syrian government's ongoing attacks on rebel areas. The West Virginia tree sits against the Mountain Valley pipeline are expanding, and anarchist prisoner Sean Swain needs support.
The Hotwire 27, April 18th, 2018, 38 minutes. Victory for Tarnak 9, calls for May Day actions, long live the Zad.
The final straw, after 25 years, two perspectives on the Lucasville uprising. 59 minutes. Sean Swain talks about state terrorism, which of course is always topical. He definitely sounds sadder than usual. There is no information about whether this recording of him is recent or old. If it's recent, then his hunger strike seems to be over. If it's not recent, then it would be nice to have that noted somewhere. The lack of good information about people in prison is, of course, tactical. Fucking prisons. The rest of this final straw is about the Lucasville uprising, with two interviews. One of a prisoner there at the time, and one of a lawyer who represented prisoners during the negotiation of the siege. There's also an update about ICE raids in Asheville, North Carolina, and a reminder about June 11th, the worldwide day of action in solidarity with Marius Mason and all long-term anarchist prisoners.
The Brilliant 68, Scott Crow and Change, an hour and 7 minutes. This episode with Scott Crow is an example of how two thoughtful and opinionated people who seem dramatically different can more or less respectfully disagree with each other. Scott comes through as someone who can be humble and has a sense of humor, and interestingly for me, has come to some similar conclusions from a fairly different trajectory. Windows on this kind of measured disagreement are especially refreshing in a world of online bickering and name-calling.
Topic of the week, taking up space. Watching the ongoing destruction of Lazad in France, I've been thinking about how anarchists take up physical space. Examples include protest occupations such as Lazad and Olympia Stand, insurrectionary infrastructure projects such as the Breakaway Social Center in Chicago, as well as longer-term land projects. We can also include theoretical frameworks for what anarchist space might look like in works such as Land and Freedom or How to Start a Fire. In a tradition that's often manifest in discrete, fleeting actions and spectacular protests, there's no shortage of experiments to establish anarchic spaces. What do you think of taking up space as an anarchist strategy? What are better or worse ways to do this? What are its potentials and limitations? How do we get space? Once we have it, how do we defend it? Do we stand and fight like in Lazad, or do we stay mobile and avoid confrontation with state forces as in Olympia?
Well, I think that what I find hard about this framing of this conversation is that it doesn't mention, I think, what are some of the more inspirational space-taking initiatives, which would be indigenous struggles, both in British Columbia, in other parts of Canada, and, perhaps even the anti-oil pipeline protests that have happened here in the U.S. And the reason why this is a difficult conversation, or perhaps a difficult bridge, is that it seems by and large that the excitement level that people have for anarchist activity by that name has diminished greatly since Occupy. And so I think it's a little, it sort of makes the ZAD or what's happening in Chicago or Olympia feel like a very small little blip, whereas I think that the indigenous land struggles do have a broader base of interest and and of engagement. But I mean, I guess that's sort of one way to answer the question. The other way to answer the question is to sort of talk about what's the theory and what are we trying to accomplish? The reason that I am inspired by land struggles, especially indigenous land struggles, is because I'm excited about the idea of people taking back their land, which feels like a pretty different project from the ZOD or from places where you take rent here in the U.S. I don't know. I mean, I guess I feel a little mixed because I would basically answer the question again from a third perspective and say that I think that land is the basis of any struggle you're going to have, and really the basis of almost any way in which you can sort of find other people and meet and do interesting things. And so to me, the question isn't so much like either or, but also and. And so the question I think that almost every anarchist in North America needs to ask is, how are they engaging in sharing physical space with other anarchists or other people who they might be excited by? And I think that that's a worthwhile project worth doing, basically by definition. And whether or not that's an info shop or a park occupation or something that, you know, has all the buzzword jargons associated mm-hmm. with it, to me, all of that is irrelevant. The thing that's relevant is, how are you meeting and standing and being with other anarchists? And the internet doesn't count.
Yeah, I find that I don't. Well, they actually give some good examples in the question. And the way to make a question more interesting is to make it broader. I have always liked the idea of anarchists in as small and as large group as possible owning as much land as possible. I was a part of a very large-scale anarchist thing involving probably 70 or 80 people, and there was someone in the group whose whole strategy was that the anarchists were going to, like, take over Delaware, and because nobody cared about Delaware, and the anarchists could have their own state, which I thought was hilarious and fantastic, but I appreciated the perspective.
The libertarians have a movement for New Hampshire.
Oh, well, good luck with that.
But I mean, there's sure. a lot of people who are already libertarian who are there.
Yeah, and a lot of libertarians have money, so mm-hmm. they can afford New Hampshire. I think I'm looking at the series of questions asked in the last paragraph, and I feel like they're all good questions, and the answers to all of them are different based on exactly the context that you're talking about and what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and that's exactly how we should be having this conversation. Being open to things changing, being open to building space, renting space, taking space, claiming space, buying space, some of it being temporary, some of it being permanent. Yeah, I don't know. You're making a face at me. Why are you making a face at me?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just to repeat what it is that I said already, I don't think that there can be an anarchist strategy or anarchist anything without answering the question about how you do space with your people in your area.
Okay.
It's very American to say that we would buy space together, and it's also very utopian, right? By and large, we know very few people that have started an interesting project that involved buying space with other anarchists.
Sure.
You know, for me at this point, I have, I am interested in seeing what happens when other people do space in a combative way. Which, mm-hmm. like seizing public space,
yeah.
or something like the ZAD, but we just have so many problems in the U.S. context that this necessary first step, and I'm serious when I say that I think that space is a necessary first step, is basically impossible. So this is, you know, part of the reason why I have such a sort of cynical attitude towards, especially people that are, you know, sort of revolutionary in their rhetoric, is that the necessary first step is already basically impossible. And I feel like this question sort of is asking people to understand that, or, you know, that's my takeaway. Paying rent sucks.
Sure.
Paying a mortgage is worse.
Maybe.
It's worse from the perspective of revolutionary intention. It perhaps is better from the perspective of actually like something long term, but you can't deny that if you go in with a group of friends and buy some land together, the first thing you've done is accept a core value of this society.
Sure, but I'm not... I mean, I guess I'm... That feels almost like a splitting hairs position. We accept the core values of the society to live every day. And while I don't... I have to snicker at people who, I guess, buy land in the name of anarchy, and I don't really know who actually does that anymore, I applaud the anarchists who have their shit together enough to actually own the land that they stand on.
Yeah. It's...
I don't know that I disagree with your premise. I'm just not sure... Well, okay. So you're not saying don't do anything, but what are you saying?
It's probably not revolutionary, the things that are doable in this world.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
In other words, by pointing to things like the ZAD,
uh-huh.
I think that that's another example of Americans basically saying that man is shit great somewhere else.
Sure.
And they're pointing to something that absolutely would not happen in the U.S. context.
Absolutely true.
You know, which is why it is worth mentioning sort of as a parenthetical, why are indigenous struggles different? Why do they not get crushed quite so easily? The no dapple, you know, it wasn't exactly an occupation. The actual land where people were on was actually, there was permission from the owner of the land, or at least a portion of it. But I guess if you want to experience like firsthand struggle, it seems like indigenous occupations are a way that has a potential for a different kind of success than land ownership, or, you know, basically what we'd call like bourgeois sets of decisions. And so so I guess to me, you know, the question I would ask a sort of young insurgent is, are you looking around you at the struggles that exist rather than just trying to brand things with team anarchy, which of course seems particularly bad right now when brand anarchy seems to be in a low point, except for in other parts of the world.
Right. I'm going to back up a little bit. Do you think that indigenous fights have a longer life just because of what it looks like for the state to fight them?
Yeah, I think also the fact that native land struggles also have people who won't back down. In other words, no dapple could end easily, even in defeat, because most people were imported from other places.
Right.
Whereas, you know, if you have a native land struggle that has to do with the land that people are living on, it's a lot less likely that those people are going to just disappear, you know, because the state asks them to. There is something about lack of commitment. Like if you're talking about space or you're talking about land, I think you're also talking about a different relationship to your daily life and to the place where you're at than most people are prepared for. And that's one of the reasons why it's so challenging and difficult to talk about it in the context of buying something new.
That's true.
Like when you're buying something new, you're literally going onto this as a basically the apex consumer.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's so common for us as anarchists to be trying to escape what it is that where it is that we come from. Mm-hmm. And so we've had these discussions before in the past about, you know, what is the land that my people in this country are indigenous to? And I don't want to be in these places with those people. Right. And I can't be there and be around anarchists and the people that I want to be around and doing the things that I want to be doing.
Sure. And as mixed people, we have an additional layer of complexity.
Indeed.
Here that, you know, do I pick a side?
Yep.
Or do I synthetically recreate my conditions? But this is partially, I guess, why I don't, you know, get so inspired when I hear about an occupation, because I just feel like those problems tend to not be front and center. And especially when you talk about like a native struggle where they're relying on white bodies and white money to pay the bills.
Sure.
Yeah. It's, I mean, to me, I just hate to say it this way, but the system as it exists has just some really deep and solid answers to these problems.
No, for sure.
land ownership is so out of reach for most people, myself included.
As designed, as desired mm-hmm. by the state, so that we are where we are.
You know, I know that I have a lot of, right now LBC is has these conflicts with Olympia, but I actually really agreed with the, as embarrassing as it sort of was for them, given their insurrectionary position, I was really impressed with the fact that they walked away from their occupation and nobody got arrested, mm-hmm. as opposed to the sort of typical macho.
Yeah. It becoming a spectacle.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was smart of them.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good when people don't go to jail.
Oftentimes it's good when people don't go to jail.
All right, your words.
Have a great day.
Bye.
This podcast is the effort of many people. This week, the podcast was sound edited by Lynn O'Mabel, written by Jackie, narrated by Chisel and a friend. The editorial was written by Chisel. We thank Aragorn and Ariel for their help with the topic of the week. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other materials are available at littleblackheart.com. And for news by, for, and about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, go to anarchistnews.org. Silence.